As young girls, we are fed the fairy tale that you will meet your Prince Charming in your 20s, fall madly in love, and live happily ever after. But what happens when you find yourself in your 30s and, oh, so single? You write about it, of course. Each week, I document the trials and tribulations of my dating life in a world run by dating apps, ghosting, and a host of options. Whether it's getting hit up for a threesome, dating a divorcee, dealing with dick pics, or stumbling around the apps, one thing I know for sure is that life is never dull. Join me each week as I chat to people going through a similar experience and getting an expert on from time to time to help us out. Let's really dive into what it's like to date as a 30-something singleton. I'm Jenna Hocking, and you're listening to Jenna with a J. Mwah. Thank you so much for joining me on my first podcast episode for Jenna with a J. I'm super excited that you're listening. I thought the best way to start it was to answer the question I get asked the most, which I think most people in their 30s are getting asked at Christmases and family gatherings and long lunches with friends, and that's, why the heck are you still single? Seriously, if I had a dollar for every person that asked me that, I would have a serious shoe collection. And side note, why is it okay to ask someone why they are single, but if you asked someone why they are fat or how much money they make, you would feel the wrath of judgment and fury upon you. It's something to ponder. And listen, it wasn't a plan to be single at 36 years old. I've always ranted and raved about your 20s being for fun and your 30s for settling down, but, well, it's safe to say that hasn't happened. So I think I have a fair idea of why I'm still single, but I thought I would run my theories by a very smart psychotherapist by the name of Kayleen Wynn to see what she has to say. Yep, I'm basically having a therapy session with all you lovely listeners in the room. Heck, maybe we'll all get something from it. So pour yourself a glass of wine and sit back and let's all listen to why I'm still single. I thought I would treat this like a therapy session. So Okay. Let's pretend I'm lying on the lounge. I've just walked in. I'm stressed because I'm 36 and I'm single and I'm just finding it really hard to find my forever person.
Yep. I hear it's a common theme, I've got to tell you.
Do you get a lot of women come in freaking out about it?
Well, my biggest clientele are women between 30 and 40.
Really?
Yeah, professional single women.
Mm. Okay, this sounds bad, but that makes me feel so much better.
Oh, yeah.
Women come in and they freak out like me that they're in their 30s and they haven't found the one. And I think being women, we all go, well, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? It's like that Sex and the City episode with Charlotte when she's like, I've been dating for half my life. Where is he? It's a vibe.
It starts with, first of all, looking at what you want. Mm-hmm. And I find when I say to women, tell me what you're looking for, and they'll always give me the physical aspect of a partner rather than the internal characteristics of a person. Because when we look at a relationship is normally a mirror of ourself in some form, shape, or way. And that's why people come together through that attraction, because they're attracted in something of someone else that they think is missing within themselves. But it's actually part of helping them to grow and develop that within themselves that's already there, but they're not, don't have that self-awareness to know it. So when we look at relationships, people get afraid of relationships because they think they've got to go in and be a certain person. Mm-hmm. And I'm always referring to people, just go in and be your authentic self, be your real, true, authentic self. And people are afraid of that because of society has taught us who we think we have to be, mm-hmm, in a relationship. And I remind people, think about who you want to be in a relationship. What is your dream relationship? And once again, we have to put it into different categories. There's the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual aspect of a relationship, because that's what makes us up as a whole. So I will find that someone might be physically connected to someone, but they're emotionally constipated, so they don't have the yes, emotional awareness, mm-hmm, and maturity to manage an adult relationship, because they're still operating from their child self in many ways.
Oh, that's or me. They don't have the- That's definitely me. I need a relationship laxative.
Oh, I can help you with that if you like.
Right.
Yeah, good. And then there's the mental side. So we need to have the mental stimulation because, you know, what is a relationship? It is about growing and expanding ourselves and the other person. But what tends to happen with relationships is that people start to create demands and controls around relationships because they want someone to be a certain way or they've got to be a certain thing. And this starts to distort the reality of who somebody is. And then this is when we start to find the communication starts to drop off because we're looking at somebody's mood and think, oh, well, I've done something wrong. And we take that on and make that about ourselves when we have to, you know, look at what a healthy relationship really looks like. And it's the first question that I normally ask anyone that I'm working with as a couple or as an individual, because most people don't know what a healthy relationship really looks like.
I was just going to ask you, what does it look like?
Yeah, well, it's really a relationship is where you allow the person to be free to be themselves, to be their true, real, authentic self. Mm-hmm. And you're looking for connection. You're looking for what are you actually connecting to in the relationship, because your relationship's purpose is to grow you as well as the other person. So if you're trying to control the situation or you're bringing your insecurities in to manage your relationship, it's all going to fall apart very quickly because you're not being bringing your vulnerability. And when I say vulnerability, it's about not having the other person fix those vulnerabilities. Your vulnerabilities belong to you, and you need to be able to know what those aspects of your vulnerabilities are, whether they're your weaknesses or whether they're your strengths. And most people tend to bring in their weaknesses rather than their strengths of who they are.
Yes, I do. It's so interesting what you say about you pick someone that has something that you're looking for, because my taste in man is super confident. Like, it's the guy that walks into the room and is loud and crazy and fun. And so I tend to go for those guys. But then as soon as I go on a date with them, I get quite intimidated, which then, of course, turns me into a talking galah that's like just ranting and raving. And then I'll drink too much because, you know, and I don't mean to do it. And I say it on every day. I say, Jana, have one drink and then have a glass of water. But then, you know, you're on a date with your dream guy and it's just intimidating and the anxiety. And before you know it, you've had, you know, three cocktails and you're making a hot mess of yourself. That's basically my dating life.
Here's the interesting thing, because I obviously talk to a lot of males who regarding relationships, and it's interesting what women think men are looking for is not what men are looking for.
Really?
And women get this so wrong because they think they've got to look a certain way, they've got to be a certain way, they've got to dress a certain way. Everything is about the physical, the superficial surface layer. And men are actually looking, when you're finding those components of the whole self, they're looking for someone that they can connect with. Now, that means not just connecting, obviously having the physical chemistry, but also emotionally, mentally and spiritually. Mm-hmm. So it's like a job interview. You know, when you go into a job interview, you've got all these questions you want to know. Well, I watch people when they go in and look at when they go into a relationship, I say to them, what made you choose your partner? And it'll be something normally very superficial. Mm-hmm. Or if they are connected, and I can always tell the ones who are going to head down the right direction, they will say their values are an important process to them, and we have commonalities. But I also have things that I don't know that this person is going to help, you know, teach me along the way. So that's about the growth. And relationships are all about growth, because we think that we have to be, you know, or have everything
straight up on the first date.
Totally.
Yes,
absolutely. And you think about it, when you first started your first job, you know, you were learning the ropes, and you still do when you keep going into job after job. But we don't look at relationships of, well, what am I going to learn from this person? What's this person going to teach me? What am I going to bring them?
Yeah, that's so true.
It's really important that you know what you want. And when we look at the modelling of our relationships, our parents are our greatest models of what we've learnt from what a relationship looks like. Mm-hmm. So most of us have never seen what a healthy relationship really looks like.
God,
and people will tell me, oh, so-and-so's got a good relationship, or so-and-so's got a good relationship, and then they'll say, but I was really surprised that they split up only a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And I go, yes, because there's a facade mm-hmm. that people put up out there to the social sector of how their relationship is. But what goes on behind four walls is a very different process.
Totally. I had this exact conversation with my beautician yesterday. We were saying it's funny, in high school you think, I'll get married and then life will be easy. You know, you've got your husband, you don't have to stress about dating or anything like that. It's super simple. But like most of my friends are married now and life is not easier. I was saying to the beautician, I was like, I can't think of one friend who is in the perfect relationship. Like they've all got their little dramas and their niggles and things like that. But on social media, it looks perfect.
Yes. It's interesting when, you know, I have people who will ask me, describe yourself, Kayleen, and I'll say to them, well, I only describe myself one way, and that is that I'm flawsome. And they say, what do you mean by that? And I go, well, I'm flawed, but I'm still awesome.
Oh, my God, I love that. I'm going to use that.
We need to feel comfortable with that because we have created a stigma in society where we think we have to be perfect. Mm. And perfect doesn't exist. Perfect is actually your insecurity. And it's important to understand that trying to be perfect is your imperfection. So we have to understand that, first of all, with relationships, we need to get rid of the stigma that longevity means, you know, a successful relationship. It doesn't. Quality of a relationship is what brings success. So society judges it as failure if you end a relationship, as an example, rather than, you know, think about, I've outgrown this relationship. It's not working for me any longer. And I'm looking for more stimulation, more growth. So you end up meeting someone at that same level of what you're looking for to help bring that stimulation. So we have to look at, first of all, expectations, mm-hmm. what a healthy relationship is, and what you're wanting, and who do you think you have to be in a relationship. And understand that relationships are our mirrors, and they reflect back our own patterns regarding connection mm-hmm. and our current level of self-awareness and conscious awareness.
That's interesting, and especially with the mirror thing, because I went on a date with a guy the other day who I had dated last year, and then, you know, he went off with another girl and I got carried away with work. And so we were just having this like really good D&M about, you know, what's happened since. And I said to him, I was like, why did we never get serious? And he goes, Jenna, you put out such vibes that are like work, career. You know, he goes, if I said to you right now, what are three things you want in your career? You could tell me straight away. And he goes, but if I asked you, what are three things you want in a guy? You would struggle. And I was like, so right. So then I was like, okay, well, do I want, like, you know, am I just too career orientated? But then it's weird because then on a Sunday I'll be like, you know, you wake up and I'll be like, oh, no, I'd quite like a boyfriend. So,
So what I'm hearing in that is that you're putting out the message that you don't want a relationship.
Yes.
Even though you want one.
So I get that all the time.
Yeah, interesting. So do you understand what that's about, what your walls are?
No. I know I do have pretty big walls because I don't know if that's I did grow up like many people with, a mum and dad who stayed together because they thought they had to. It was that kind of day and age.
Yeah.
So for me, it doesn't look fun. You know, when I think of marriage, it's not something I've ever gone, I have to, because it was my interpretation of it is it was a miserable experience. So I don't know if it's got something to do with that or I'm terrible at being vulnerable. Like I'm not, like the idea of someone saying, I don't like you back, oh my God, absolutely crushes me.
Really interesting. So what that says to me that you're not in full acceptance of who you are.
Yeah.
There's part of you that feels you've got to be perfect, which is what most people do, Jana. But the most people do that.
And
we can't be perfect because it doesn't exist. If we were perfect, why would we be here?
Yeah.
We're here to learn, we're here to evolve, we're here to grow. And that happens in every aspect of our life, whether it be in our work, our relationship, in our friendships, in ourselves. Everything is about evolution. And that's why when we look at a healthy relationship, freedom, being authentic, being free to be who we are and allowing the other person to be free who they are, being able to self-express and communicate, and allow that mutual evolution to just naturally continue to grow. And you know, when what happens, I find, with relationships, that there's always one person growing and one person not. Mm-hmm. And that's what starts to create the disconnection within the relationship. And then the other one tries to make the other one grow and the other one doesn't want to grow.
Yeah.
So at some point it comes to a point where, well, maybe we need to mutually agree that this relationship can't go any further than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But people feel they've got to stay with it and work on the dysfunction and the toxicity of it, and they end up doing more damage to themselves. So we have to go back, and if you know, when I work with clients, I'm always looking not back at their past. I'm looking at the relationship that they had in there as a child with their parents, because normally what we're looking for is what we didn't get as a child in our relationships. And we start to attract partners who are like our parents, who can't give us what we want.
Yes, that's the story of my life.
We're not actually giving it to ourselves, and that's where it has to start. It has to begin with ourselves.
So,
and we go in.
How do you do that? Because, like, how do you break down those barriers? Well, my pattern for me is I go into a date. It's funny. If I go into a date with a guy who is, you know, I'm kind of interested in, but maybe it could go either way, I can be super, super myself. But if I'm like, because I pick fairly quickly if there's someone who's...
So do you choose, or do they choose you?
It's a bit of both. Normally they always make the first move most of the time, but then it's like I go, oh really, like you like me, oh my god, now I'm feeling way too much pressure, and I self-sabotage, or I
I think you've got to perform, don't you?
I do. I go straight into performance mode, and I overthink and I talk too much. So how do you stop doing that and be your authentic self when it's someone who you think you've caught the feels for?
So what do you think is missing within you, without getting too personal in this process?
No, I don't mind. I'm an open book.
I love that you can express that way. I love it. Because it, you know, when you're being truthful and authentic, it actually starts to promote that to other people to be the same.
Yeah.
So when I meet people for the first time, you know, they'll say to me, oh, you're a little bit intimidating, Kayleen. And I go, no, I'm not intimidating. You're intimidated.
Yes.
And I said, I'm just being me. And I said, everything's about energy and a good vibe. And I said, I choose just to want to be happy regardless of what's going on in my life. And most people won't allow themselves to be happy because they think happiness has got to come from outside of themselves rather than within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you feel is missing within you, that is something that you need to work on to connect back into you, because it's not missing, it's just plugged out. You're not connected into it of yourself. And once you connect into your whole self, you will find that you will start to attract people differently, because your energy will bring that automatically, where you can just feel comfortable in your own skin and who you are rather than who you think you have to be.
So it's that age-old thing, work on yourself first before you start looking for someone else.
But know yourself more so. Mm. And most people actually don't really know themselves at that deeper level. You know, my job, I always remind my clients that I'm here to peel back the layers. That's my job. And I want to get you to the core of who you are, the true, real, authentic you, and get you to be that person out there. Because, you know, here's the magic of who we are. We're all unique and we're all individual, but we're all trying to be the same. It doesn't make sense.
No.
So when we allow ourselves to bring our true, real, individual self, people connect to that. And it's the energy of that people go, wow, I don't know what it is, but there's something that makes me just feel so good in this space. And people feel safe in that space. And that's the other place that we need to feel safe within our own self, of being, you know, bringing everything of who we are, whether that be the mad self, or when I say the mad self, I mean in a good positive way, not a negative way.
The mad self. All my friends say it. But I think, do you know what? I think that's what I try and cover up when it comes to the boys.
Yes. Well, people will often use humour as a way to cover that too. Mm. And, I'm a very good listener, obviously, and I hear people say a lot of things that they don't realise they're actually putting themselves down and making themselves feel lesser than, because they're looking for validation through the other person that, as an example, might be... I tend to not be really good in relationships for some reason.
Oh, I say that all the time.
Why do you want to put that out there?
I know.
That's a giant red flag. I mean, if that was a job interview, as an example, you'd be saying, I go to different jobs all the time and I'm always in job interviews. People would be going, okay, right, I'm not going to be touching you with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, my God, that's so true. I do that all the time. And my mum says to me, she goes, stop bimboing yourself up to make people feel more comfortable. Like she'll say, if you make yourself a target and you laugh along with it, you're actually dumbing yourself down to make them feel better about themselves. And it's a real thing that I think women do. Well, definitely not all women, and certainly not women who are sure of themselves, but it's something I'm working on. And you're right, because I do go, whenever a guy, and in your 30s, I'm finding that guys right on the first date, well, they want to know straight away, why are you still single? And it's the first thing I say, I just go, oh, I'm just really bad at them. So,
interesting. And this is my point. This is where society has actually created a lot of stigma on, why we should be in a relationship. We have to get rid of some of this how we've built the institutions of relationships. We really have to build something new here, because there should be no rule book around what age you should be when you get married or have children or any of that, and the pressure and the demands of that. And I hear it. I have women, sitting with me in tears going, Kayleen, I'm never going to have children. And I go, for goodness sake, you're not just on this earth plane just for that. There's so much more in your life to bring, rather than thinking that it's all about having to have children. I mean, if that's part of your process of what you want, sure, but watching people destroy themselves because of they're in an age bracket that they've got to find somebody and have someone, the desperation just keeps pushing it further and further away.
I agree. And like, I'm pretty lucky. I've never got that gene that was like, have to get married by this age, or I'm not a clucky person. Like, I'm not 100% convinced I want kids. So thank God, but I've seen it in so many friends who tend to just go for, they'll settle because they're freaked out about their age and having kids. Yeah. And then, of course, have you ever been at one of those weddings and you're like, well, this ain't going to end well because of completely freaked out? And that's one thing, like, I will say, like, I get told I'm picky a lot, but I'm like, well, I'm blessed that I can be, because I haven't got that time frame that I have to have kids by this age, right?
Good. The thing that if you're going to be looking at where you're going and what you want, think about the person if for long term, what type of partner or husband they would be, or type of father they would be, because I watch people wait to be chosen rather than choose what they want for themselves that they know will be a good growth match for them in their relationship.
Oh my gosh, that is such a thing. They do. They wait to be chosen instead of going for the right person.
Absolutely. And people will think, well, maybe this is as good as I'm going to get, so I'll take it. And then, once again, challenges start to happen. And we have to understand every relationship has challenges, but the key is challenges are trying to take you to a better place. But people get afraid of challenges because it means they've got to unlearn something, relearn something, and grow. And people don't like change.
No.
And we do need to change, because that's what growth is.
Well, that's one thing I tend to fall back on when it comes to dating. Like, I know the boys, like, last couple of weeks ago, I have said very staunchly, I will never go out with another football player. They're not my, you know, they're great people in general, but like, I want to go and look at art or go see a French film. And these guys just aren't into that, but they're my comfort zone. And not just football players, like, you know, guys, like I grew up around tradies and farmers and guys like that. And so I find myself going back on dates with them because it's my weird comfort zone. But deep down, I know that they're not the person long-term for me. So I guess, so you're saying it's like you have to get out of your comfort zone to find your one.
Absolutely. Well, you don't grow in a comfort zone.
No.
So if you continue to stay in a comfort zone, you're going to get always what you've always gotten, basically. So if you want something different, you've got to do different.
Oh, I love that advice. Okay, I have to wrap up, which makes me so sad because I could talk to you forever. And I'm definitely going to get you back on. But I think to wrap it up, the main things are step outside of your comfort zone, have a real think about who do you want to be with, like who matches you, who's going to make you grow. I really like that one because I've never really given that much thought. That's a good one. And what else can we take away from this?
Expectations. Let go of them.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I know it is, because expectations will always lead you to disappointment. Come from a place of intention instead of expectation.
Yeah.
Intention means it's what your actions are going to be and what you're going to do, where expectations is always about what someone else is going to do without your participation.
Yes, yes. And I know that I'm bad for going on one great date and then by the second date I've turned, like in my mind, that's my husband and this is the name of our kids and I don't want to get married to have kids. But you know what I mean? Like we've already like organized this life in our mind with them. And that's a lot of pressure for a bloke to live up to what we've created in our head.
Absolutely. And can I add to that? Don't be afraid of rejection. People are afraid of rejection.
Oh, petrified.
I remind people that rejection doesn't mean rejection. It just means that you are being redirected to something better.
Yes, that's a good one.
But you didn't know it.
Yes. Okay. I am taking a lot away from this therapy session. Thank you so much. You know, I'm gonna sit here all afternoon thinking about it now.
No problem. Happy to help anytime.
Well, listen, I'm going to go out into the real world and put all your tips into practice.
Please.
So yes. I will check in on you in a couple of episodes' time, if that's all right, and let you know how I'm going.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we might tweak some things along the way as we go.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you so much, Kayleen. And can you tell everyone where they can find you?
They can go to my website, which is kayleenwynn.com.au.
Perfect. All right. And that's got all your socials and everything on there as well.
Social media, yeah.
And absolutely. We have you on Triple M a lot, so make sure you tune in when you're on, because every time I have Oprah aha moments when you come on, I'm like, yeah, that makes total sense.
I love talking to you. Love talking to you.
Thanks for listening to Jana with a J. You can rate, review and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes to give the poddy a boost in the charts and help others find it. Jana with a J is recorded in Sydney and the audio is given some special magic producing by Mike Sideshow Anderson. Tune in next week when we tackle another dating dilemma. I'm Jana Hocking and you've been listening to Jana with a J. Mwah.